Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 26, please. 1 Samuel 26. Are you vulnerable? Before I read the passage, just let me mention something here. When we sing these hymns, that's part of the service. And I think it's an important part of the service. Usually Eileen picks out the songs on Wednesday night, and it's rare that I have a ghost of an idea what I'm even preaching on Wednesday night. It's usually Saturday sometime when I finally settle on and get the message prepared. But it's amazing how oftentimes the hymns that are picked relate to the message. And as you sing the hymns, don't just mouth the words. Think about what you're singing. Think about the God that we're singing to and singing about. How great is His faithfulness. And He is all I need. Amen? So, with that said, let's begin reading in 1 Samuel 26. And this message, to some degree, relates to what I preached last week about the good steps of a good man, but maybe from a little bit different angle looking at things. 1 Samuel 26 and verse 1, and the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakkelah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakkelah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way, but David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David rose, came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I'll go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear even to the earth at once, and I'll not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, Furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take now the spear that is at his bolster, and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat him them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither waked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. David went over to the other side and stood on the top of an hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, Answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, Who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept the Lord thy king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy Lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. Saul was Israel's first king. God had given him them, the people of Israel, this king, in response to their demand to have a king to be like all the other nations. God wanted to be their king. God wanted to be the one that they looked to and depended upon, but they weren't satisfied with that, and so they made this demand, and he's given them King Saul. Saul started out pretty good. He seemed to trust God and look to God and follow his counsel, but then he got off track. Things began to fall apart in his life. And then as David began to rise in popularity and with his successes on the battlefield, Saul became jealous and began to plot against him. Began to try to take his life. And that's what's going on right now. He's got 3,000 of his top soldiers pulled together in this attempt to try to kill David. And he has been pursuing him. This lasted for years. From Saul's initial attempt to try to kill David at his table to being to this point here, it's several years have passed. And he is hot, he's obsessed with eliminating David, killing him, to the point he's distracted from a lot of things he ought to be paying attention to. Well, David learns of Saul's presence and investigates the thing, sends spies down there and checks out the location and sees what's going on. And then he asks for volunteers to go along with him on his dangerous adventure into the very camp of King Saul and the 3,000 fighting men that are assembled around him. He's in the midst of that thing. Abishai immediately volunteers. I'll go with you, David. I'll go with you all the way. They walk into the camp. Everybody's sound asleep. This deep sleep from the Lord has fallen upon them, it said in verse 12. God's working on David's behalf in this thing. They just kind of come strolling into the camp nonchalantly, find them all asleep, and they come up and there's Saul, his spear stuck in the ground next to his bolster. That spear is significant to the message this morning. In fact, it's mentioned about 6 times in this whole chapter. But we'll come back to that. They see the thing, and Abishai says, "Let me take that very spear of Saul. I'll smite him just once. That's all I need. One whack, he's done." David says, "Nope, can't do that. And I'm not going to let you do that either." He's in God's hands. He'll die someday, perish in battle, something else befall him, but that's God's to deal with. We're not going to harm him. I will not touch the Lord's anointed, David says. And so they take the spear, they take his cruse of water, and they leave. They go up to the other side of the mountain, and they call out, David calls out to him, out to Abner, Saul's chief man, and begins to chide him for not having given him the proper protections that he should have had. "How is it? We came into your camp unharmed, unnoticed, and were able to take your king's spear and his water. See where they are. Go check. Got them right here, Abner. You failed, boy. You messed up." The whole point of this thing is that Saul thought he was safe and secure with his spear by his side and with these 3,000 fighting men gathered around him. He had no concern whatsoever for his safety. He's sleeping like a baby through the whole thing. You know, life's events oftentimes expose our frailties, our vulnerabilities, don't they? We do all kinds of things to plan, prepare, protect ourselves, and just suddenly, without warning, the rug gets ripped out from underneath us. Down and out. Consider your health. You can be the picture of perfect health. Just like that, something happens, cancer, something else, and it's gone. Your health is gone completely. You can be the specimen of physical strength and productivity. And you can fall off a ladder or trip over a shoe and be laid up for months. All these things, there's no way to protect yourself completely from every possibility. We are vulnerable. We're exposed to all kinds of things, all kinds of dangers. Financially, you can plan and make wise choices and wise investments and save all of a sudden the stock market crashes or inflation eats up all of your savings. It's gone just like that. The gas prices double. There's a lot of things we have absolutely no way of controlling them in our lives. You got a good job, you got great benefits, got an excellent retirement plan, and suddenly an email comes and says, if you don't get a shot, you can't work here anymore. And these aren't unusual things. People lose their jobs all the time. Well, we're downsizing or this or that. We're eliminating your position. You got no control over that. And oftentimes, you got no warning about it coming. You raise your kids right. You read to them the Bible and memorize scripture with them and bring them to church and send them to camp and do all that you can to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But they're exposed to vulnerabilities all the time, folks. They turn 18 and out of the house and they're gone. I have a friend I respect and look up to greatly. He's been used of God in many ways throughout this country to impact and reach people for Jesus Christ. Great influence in so many, many lives. But two of his three kids are not serving God. And I don't believe it's what he did wrong. It's our choice. But there's no guarantee, you see. And we protect our kids and we provide the best health care we can and a safe home and all that stuff. And something happens. An accident and they're gone. Aren't you encouraged this morning? And I'm not trying to discourage you, but folks, we need to understand, just like Saul, we're vulnerable. Some unexpected thing can happen and take it all away from us. Our nation spends trillions through various agencies to secure us, to keep us safe. And yet still, four Middle Eastern groups took four planes and attacked us on our very own soil. How did that happen? Oh, I know there's all kinds of theories and conspiracies about that, but the fact is it happened. We're vulnerable. Or some disease can come to our shores and completely turn our world upside down and impacting us in ways which we never could have imagined. I mean, think about that. Who would have ever thought we would quit going to church for 9 weeks? Maybe, and I'm not saying that was the right decision. I wonder about that sometimes looking back on it, but we did it, all right? Right or wrong, that was the decision was made, and we're going on. But who could have ever imagined something like that? Well, our representatives are in the hospital right now with that thing. It's real, there's no question about that. People die from it, there's no question about that. we're vulnerable. Who or what are you trusting for your security? That's the thing I want you to ask yourself this morning. What is it that you believe is keeping you safe and vulnerable? Saul was surrounded by these chosen men. His spear right there. He probably felt invulnerable at this point. Safe, secure. But it was misplaced, wasn't it? Because David and Abishai stood right there. And they could have just as easily done as Abishai wished to do. One whack, he's done. He's gone. But David refused. Because his security was not involved in getting rid of Saul. I've given him to God. I'm trusting God with that. God's going to take care of it. The spear is significant, mentioned repeatedly, as I said. You know, that spear has been as much a part of Saul's life as the rod was to Moses. I mentioned already when Saul began to first set his eyes against David, he called them. There was a feast, and David was suspicious. And he had, or no, I guess it was before that, Saul had let that spear loose at the dinner table trying to kill David. Saul had been into battle many, many times and been very successful in many battles. And that spear was right there with him all the time, every time, all the way. That spear was part of his security. A major part, I believe, of his security. What's your spear this morning? What is it that you look to and trust in as your safety, as your protection? What's your confidence in this morning? You know, spears aren't necessarily bad. In fact, sometimes they're good. I mean, what soldier in his right mind is going to go into battle without his weapon, right? You take your weapon with you. You're a fool if you don't. But that can't be where all your security is wrapped up. No commander goes into battle without a plan. Look at keep your finger here, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 28. Jesus is speaking here in Luke 14:28, and it says this, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" That's just common sense, right? That's wise. Can I afford to build this thing? Will I be able to complete what I started? Verse 29, "Lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." Verse 31, "Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Am I going to be able to win this battle, or is it going to be a suicide mission?" It's wise to take some steps to prepare, to protect yourself. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 8. Or 18, excuse me. Proverbs 20, verse 18. "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war." It's a good idea to talk to other people about making a decision. People that know more than you do about that thing. Like that king consulting. Well, let's see. We got 10,000, they got 20,000. Is that bad, or can we overcome those odds? Think about it. It's wise to prepare. It's wise to lay up to protect ourselves. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 3. And this verse is actually repeated again in chapter 27 and verse 12. He says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on unpunished." Hey, there's a danger there. I better stay away from that, or at least protect myself from that thing. Hey, I'm sick this morning. I've got some of the symptoms of COVID. Maybe I better stay home from church this morning or from work. It's just wise to do that, to protect yourself. So fears aren't bad necessarily. But we've sometimes got so many, we have many spears, and that's wise. It's good. But even the best spears cannot protect you from everything. What are you trusting in this morning? Because there's no way you can be completely protected from everything all the time. It's just not possible. The guy named Robert Atkins, anybody know him? Familiar with that name? How about the Atkins diet? Heard of that? Low carb diet? And I'm not criticizing that, I'm just using this as an example. He said, a healthy heart equals a healthy body. And he wrote books about this, and so many people have followed that, and successfully so, got benefit from following that diet and so forth. But you know, his spear couldn't protect him from an untimely death. When he walked out into an icy street in New York City, slipped, fell, hit his head, and died several days later from a brain aneurysm. Had a healthy heart, but it didn't protect him from dying. And how many times is there something like that? We put all our emphasis upon a specific spear, or maybe several of them, and then something completely unrelated comes up that we hadn't prepared for, like what happened to them. You know, and sometimes in our effort to protect and guard ourselves, we've got so many spears that it's impossible for us even to move. We're just weighted down with all the spears because I got this protection, and I got that protection, and I got this protection. And there we are, just, now what do I do? I can hardly breathe. We become ineffective because the spears have become a detriment to us instead of help or an aid. So many areas of vulnerability in our lives. Too much to protect ourselves from every possibility. We need something greater than a spear. Our bodies need more than a diet and exercise program. We need more than the health care and all the other things that we do to protect ourselves. Our kids need more than a safe home and a warm bed and reasonable rules and regulations. Our nation needs more than a well-equipped and highly skilled military. David shows us what we need. Go back to our text here, 1 Samuel chapter 26. So David's begun this conversation with Abner, and in the midst of this, as David and Abner are shouting back and forth, Saul finally wakes up. And he immediately recognizes David's voice. And he calls out to him. Look at verse 19. "Now therefore I pray thee," this is David speaking, "let my Lord the king hear the words of his servant. Listen to what I got to say, king. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. If God is leading you to try to kill me, Saul, Then what can I do? What, how can I make peace about this thing? Let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they there before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. Verse 22. David answered and said, behold the king's spear. Well, let's read intervening verses here. Back to verse 20. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. See, Saul has given up everything else to find and kill David. David says, I'm nothing. I'm just a flea. Why are you doing this, Saul? Verse 21, then said Saul, I've sinned, return my son David. Now, this is the second time that Saul has been in David's hand to kill him. He'd gone into a cave to relieve himself, and unbeknownst to Saul, David was in that very same cave. And at that time, David quietly reached out and cut off a part of his robe. Saul got done with his business, went out of the cave, and David called out to him, hey, King, guess what? I could have just killed you, but I didn't. And Saul basically said the same words then that he's saying now, but then turned around and started chasing him again. He says, I've sinned. Return my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul is precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And he continued to do so, even in spite of this repentance. Verse 22, David answered and said, behold, the king's spear. Hey guys, what I got? That thing that you trusted in, Saul, that thing that was your confidence, your hope, look where it is, right here in my hand, clear across this great divide separating us. But then he says this, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. You know what, Saul? I don't need this. I don't want this. Send somebody over to get it. Come after it. The spear was Saul's hope, was trust. Verse 23, the Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into mine hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. You trust in the spear, Saul. You trust in those 3,000 men you got surrounding you there. I'm trusting in God. That's where my confidence is. That's where my hope is. That's where all my trust is. Not in some spear. And you think about the life of David. Saul started out good. He started out trusting God. He started out a humble man, but soon pride and envy crept in and ruined him. And he began to trust in other things. He even went to a witch to get counsel from her at one point. Saul quit trusting in the right thing. What about David? Well, let's see. I was taking care of Dad's sheep. This lion came up and attacked those sheep and God delivered me out of the paw of that lion. And then there was another time a bear came and attacked the flock. And God delivered me out of the paw of that bear. And then there was a time I was sent by Dad to go see how my brothers were doing in the battle against the Philistines. And as I approached, I heard this yelling down in the valley. Come on, send your greatest down. I'll fight them. And David sees Goliath down there, and he sees all the armies of Saul standing around watching, listening. Nobody's moving. And David says, wait a minute. Who's going to go? Who's going to go against him? Nobody moved. Nobody said a word. Well, his brothers said a word. They, oh, just go on back home and mind your own business. But David says, is there not a cause? Because that giant is blaspheming the name of my God. Is there not a cause? I'll go fight him. And what did Saul do? Well, here. Take this armor and take this spear. And there's David, little David, probably about 12 years old, wearing a full-grown man's armor with this huge spear, and he can't move. Now, that's not going to work. He says, the God that delivered me out of the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion shall deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. He wasn't trusting in a spear. He's trusting in God. Read that again. Verse 22, David answered and said, behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. The Lord delivered thee into my hand today. Saul, God gave you to me, just like he did in that cave. God brought you to me. God brought that sleep upon your people so that we could just walk in there arguing about whether or not we could kill you, and nobody was disturbed, and took your spear and took your water, and here they are, the Lord. Verse 24, behold, is my life as much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord. Let him deliver me out of all tribulation. You've been chasing me for years, Saul. But just like I refuse to touch you because you're God's anointed, God's keeping me out of your hand. In fact, God has delivered you twice into my hand. That's the spear we need, folks. God is a better savior than a spear. Saul was vulnerable in his security. But David was secure in his vulnerability. He was secure because he knew he couldn't do it. And he needed to trust God. He needed to be the one that he needed to look to for protection. Someone has said this, no one has more security in life than that which God provides. Whether you walk out here and get in your vehicle and go down the highway, whether you're climbing a tree, whether you're doing some other dangerous thing, God is your safety net. God alone is your protection. And sometimes God chooses to allow you to suffer something for a greater purpose. He needs to be the one we trust. Look at Psalm chapter 33. And you know, it's all right to have a spear. It's wise to have a spear. But don't idolize that thing. Don't ever put that above God. God has to be your ultimate protection. Psalm chapter 33. Verse 10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. That's my prayer for our country right now. To bring the counsel of our current administration to naught and their devices to none effect. But read on, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. God's aware. God even knows our thoughts and the intents of our heart. You can fool other people, but you can't fool God. Because he knows. He observes. He's the one we need to count on. From the place of his habitation, verse 14, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain safety, is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. I mean, you look at, whether you look at the nation of Israel or this nation or many other examples, time and time and time and time again, the inferior military defeated a superior military. Because God determines the outcome. God's in control of that thing. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Are you vulnerable this morning? What are you trusting in? A lot of stuff going on out there, I know. And some of it I don't know. But the only one that can see you through, the only one that can keep you safe, the only one that can provide what you need is Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to get serious about our relationship with God. Too oftentimes we just go through the motions of our Christianity. We're checking the boxes. We're doing the right things. We're honoring God with our lips, but our heart is far from him. And that makes us nothing better than a Pharisee. Outside your whited sepulchres, Jesus said of them, but inside, you're full of dead men's bones. Who is your hope this morning? Who is your confidence in? It needs to be God above everything else. Again, I'm not saying abandon all protections, all measures that you take, but don't let them be the ultimate trust, thing that you trust in. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, I pray the tone of this message this morning, especially at the beginning, has not prevented folks from getting the intent of the message. As the psalmist said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart. Keep and seal it for thy courts above. God, there's not a one of us here this morning that's exempt from being like Saul and turning our backs upon you and putting our trust in other things, making other things our God. Oh God, help us to maintain our walk and relationship with you first and foremost. For that's the greatest protection that our country can have. That's the greatest protection our church can have. That's the greatest protection our families can have. That we maintain the right relationship with you, God. So help us to do that. Help us, Lord, to make you all our hope and stay and trust. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to number 339 in your hymn books, please. 339, Under His Wings.